We are joined by Corey and Dawn from Encourage. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you both doing today?
Fabulous. Thanks for having us on the radio.
Oh, thanks for being here. And a big thank you to Encourage, too, for everything that you guys do, as long as we're getting things going in and we're doing our thank yous. I really do appreciate it. And I was prepping for the interview a little bit, going on your website, which is also very good. EncourageCF.org is where you go if you want to look at that and find out more about some of the things we talk about today. But I wanted to start off right away with the Tribune update, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, the project's still rolling right now. Mm. So we have a lot of renewed enthusiasm for the project right now since the state investment came in this summer, which was, in case folks don't know, it was a $3 million grant from the state in order to get the ball rolling on construction for the Tribune. So we're really excited about that. That just means we've gotten a lot of people really interested in going, okay, well, what's going on in there again? Or I haven't seen it yet, so I want to see it. Mm. So this summer, we've taken the time to really offer a bunch of different tours to get folks through the building so they can catch the vision of really what the Tribune means to the community and what we really believe is how it's going to help the local economy.
It's one of those things where you hear that number, the $3 million, and so especially people that have lived around here their whole lives or know that building so well. And some people might not be able to connect the dots right away, but once you start talking to you guys or anybody really that is passionate about this, having a Congressman Kind in and a number of other different people that we've talked to politician-wise, mm-hmm. it spreads all over. There's quite a few different people that are passionate about this project. It all starts to make sense, and then you start to get curious. You start to wonder, well, what is it looking like? So the tours are fantastic. A great idea to have more of those. I don't know if that was you added some or not, but either way, a great number with those.
Yeah, we've had many tours over the last 5 years as we've been working hard on the project. But this summer, we made an intentional effort to make sure that we had a couple different offerings, knowing that we did get the state investment. And we wanted to make sure that if folks had questions and maybe they're not comfortable calling or stopping by our office, but they could come on a tour and maybe their question will be answered just within the tour. Or we always give the opportunity to ask questions at every tour. We did do a tour this past weekend, actually, during the Grand Avenue Affair. So that's a wonderful event held right downtown in Wisconsin Rapids. And so we thought, why not give a tour, because everyone's right in our backyard,
yeah.
Literally.
Good idea.
Yeah, so we had a great tour. We had so many good questions with people really excited for some of the different spaces that are coming. I would say a lot of enthusiasm for the project, but really, whenever I talk to folks, there's a lot of enthusiasm for the Maker's Kitchen. Mm. And a lot of times people are like, well, what is that? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. How is that going to operate? How does that affect me as a community member? Well, one of the examples I like to use is maybe somebody who makes a fabulous salsa, and you're like, oh, that's so good. I wish I could buy this on the weekends at the grocery store. But the person who makes the salsa is like, yeah, I would love to sell my salsa, but I have to do it in a licensed commercial kitchen. It has to be safe. I have to go through food safety, all those types of things. But I also don't have the understanding of how do I market it? How do I sell it? Where do I go? What do I do? And that's exactly what the Tribune is all about. So it's not just the physical space for the Maker's Kitchen where someone could come in and rent that space and say, I'm going to rent it and I'm going to make that salsa. But now what do I do with my salsa when I'm done with it? Well, good news. We're going to have a cafe brew pub. Perhaps your salsa could be featured in the cafe brew pub. Wow. As part of an event, promoting your business this week. Also, the second floor, which is really dedicated to innovation and entrepreneurship, and that's for our partnership for sustainable communities with UWSP, and that's thinking about taking your ideas to the next step. Mm-hmm. So it's finding other like-minded people within the space who could share your enthusiasm and, hey, you know what? Your salsa is great. I would love to make a logo for your brand because I'm a graphic designer. Or, you know what? I love your salsa. I'm going to eat your salsa. But you really need to think about how you're marketing it right now, because I wouldn't buy it with that information. Like, it needs to be spun, and they have marketing experience. Or maybe it's, I know how to help you get a loan so that you can, get your business up and running. Because we all know it takes money to make money.
Well, yeah. And there's layers to all these things that you're talking about. And anytime you can get that data, that feedback from people, it's never a bad thing. The feedback, whether it's negative or positive, it's always data. It's stuff that you can learn from and take carry forward. Corey, that's a fantastic idea. I didn't know this part of things, though. That's a really, really cool idea. How did that come about?
So we have so many makers in our community. So through all those public meetings is how these things were surfaced. So residents who spent a year with us planning what should be in this building really came to the table, and we realized, wow, there's so many good opportunities in our community. We have, we're a community of makers. We have a lot of innovation. We have an entrepreneurial spirit here that's like no other. But it's hard to tap into that because there's so many barriers. And so when people came to the table to plan what should be in the Tribune, it's like, how do we help build our entrepreneurial pipeline? And so we've been working on that behind the scenes for many years. So when folks say, you know, well, there hasn't been anything going on, well, there has been. And the partnership with UWSP is a great example of how we're furthering residents' ideas. They want a space where they can collaborate and be creative and be innovative so that they can start or operate a small business in our community.
Fantastic.
It is.
And that's a really cool thing, too. I mean, I see the business end of it. I think it can be very, you know, productive for this community and be helpful on a business end, but it's just fun. It's just fun, cool thing too, to highlight things, because it's kind of funny. I was just talking to Steve and Katrina about this from Family Natural Foods, about the hidden gems we have in these areas, and specifically in the central Wisconsin area. Steven was telling me about how he loves going to the plays because he you know, there's such good talent around here. There's so many good young actors and actors, and or not just young, but actor and actors all over the place. And I was saying the same thing right back to him, that, you know, Family Natural Foods is a gem that we have around here, and that, and you're hitting on the same thing about this hidden talent, or this talent that we don't get to see very all the time.
Exactly.
Whether it comes to, you know, a salsa that you have, that's something that's really good, that, you know, maybe you didn't have the opportunity to market it as well as, you know, a El Paso brand or something like that, and then they, you know, were able to blow. This is an opportunity to kind of, you know, stretch those wings a little bit.
It is, and it's so wonderful when we give tours and we see it click. Like, people are starting to understand, what does it really mean to collaborate and innovate together?
Yeah.
You know, when you're in your basement working on your own product by yourself, you know, you hit those barriers, and it's much harder to overcome them, but it's easier when you were working with other people. So we've just seen so much excitement about the Maker's Kitchen. Of course, people are still excited about and looking forward to the microbrewery. But the difference between our microbrewery and other microbreweries is it's going to be a training microbrewery. So that opportunity is kind of a distinguishing factor for our microbrewery. And we have so much talent in our community when it comes to home brewing. So I've been lucky enough to be a taste tester for some home brewers, which has been wonderful. So we just see excitement for the brewery, of course, and everyone wants to enjoy a burger and a beer on the riverfront. And when you do the tour, on a good day, you're lucky. You get to go up on that rooftop and see the best view of our downtown. And so having that third floor be realized, when William Huffman created the building and built it, he always intended for a third floor to be added on, and it never was realized. And so we're very excited that the planning right now, we are going to realize a third floor on that building, and you'll be able to enjoy a burger and beer and get that best view of our downtown, which is something most people get really excited about, especially when you get up on the rooftop and you can see what we see when we go up there.
Oh, yeah. I know that for me, that's one of my favorite things to do wherever I am. I love being able to have that bird's eye kind of view of things. And we were talking about the tours before. Do you have more tours coming up?
Actually, we do. So our next tours are going to be next Thursday, which is September the 19th. I heard Katrina and Steven say they have an event going on that night, too. So it's a good day for, you know, lots of activity in the downtown.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so the 19th, we're going to have a tour at either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m., and it's during the farmer's market. So folks can come down, do some of their farmer's market shopping, and come into the front doors, the riverside doors of the Tribune at either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. The tour takes about 30 minutes of their time, but then hopefully the weather will be great, and they'll get that view I was just talking about.
Excellent. Thank you, Corey, so much for all of that. Really do appreciate the update and the information about the tours. Dawn, I wanted to ask you about the What If grants, but then I realized, you know, there's probably some people who don't know what a What If grant is. So if we could dive into that first before we get into the What If part of it, or what the What If grants or what they are.
Yes. So Corey's talking about the Tribune, and from the conversation that we've just had, we realized that the Tribune is about more than just the building. It's about the people, and it's about the people coming together there and making things happen. So whether it's happening at the Tribune or there are other things happening in the community, and that is why I'd like to share some highlights with the about the What If Grant. And the What If grants are intended to inspire resident-led projects that are bringing people together and moving the good ideas to action. So very similar to what's happening in the Tribune, bringing people's ideas to action. That can happen in the community. It can happen anywhere. And there are some grants to help support that. And it's really about residents or people in our community coming together and connecting around an idea and moving that idea forward. So we do have the grants available. They're up to $2,500. They generally average around $1,000, so they're not, you know, really high-end large grants. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really always take a lot of money to make things happen.
Yeah, it doesn't take that much. So
right.
that actually seems like a really good grant.
Right, and these grants are available in all of the communities in Southwood County, and you can apply for them online at encouragecf.org. And these grants are submitted by residents, and they are also reviewed by residents in the community. We have resident review committees. And so we do have these grants available and happening in Nakusa, Port Edwards, the town of Rome, Pittsville, Rudolph, Vesper, Wisconsin Rapids. I think I named seven. There's seven. So so these are available. And if anyone is interested, please send this through. So I would like to highlight two.
Oh, yes,
okay.
Please.
I would like to highlight, too, and I'd like to piggyback on the your previous show with Natural Foods. And one of the grants that we did help support was called Meet Me at the Market, which was held and is still currently being held at Family Natural Foods. And there were some people, along with the Hittners, some other community residents, who really wanted to make this market happen. And it's an artisan farmers market with music and food. And the idea is to include local farmers, local artisans, local music, and local food providers, and just for every, for people in our community, just come out and just enjoy that. So they have, we had a grant that helped to start this up last year, and they're continuing to hold that this summer. And there's another one. I think I'm not sure if they mentioned the next one's coming up September 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Just that Encourage helped with a What If grant. They had an idea, and they moved that idea to action, and everybody can come and enjoy that, and it brings people together.
Well, that really worked out great, having them on first and then having you guys. It's almost like we planned it that way. So no, that was really cool. Just like we planned it. We did plan it.
Just like we did.
It's a perfect example, too, of what you're talking about and what these What If grants are. And the importance of them, too, I think, is kind of underlined in there as well. Without something like that, we don't have that market. And how many people have been helped or just even outside of being helped, enjoyed that market, you know, gotten
right.
That's worth it alone, let alone the help that they're able to do over there and that kind of thing. And really, with any of these grants, they all involve that kind of, again, that layered kind of thing of it's fun, it's good for the community, but it's also informative and helpful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a even with the, you know, the salsa thing that you were kind of talking about before, Corey, and stuff, that's helpful for the community as well.
Exactly.
Putting business back in or just giving people empowerment is you know, certainly important. So it's
right.
Another great way that Encourage is kind of helping this area.
Right. And especially for people to realize you don't have to be the executive director of a nonprofit or on a board of directors in order to help make things happen in our community.
Yeah.
Everybody has an opportunity to be a part of our community.
Very well said, Dawn. That's such a good point.
I'd like to highlight one more. I'm really excited about another example. And this one is the outdoor fitness park that is in the Henry Demitz Park, and that was started by a What If grant, and there are also other funders that help make that possible. But again, we had a small group of people, six community people, who had this idea, and really worked together. They involved others in helping to make it happen. And it's really exciting. If you haven't been to the park and seen the fitness stations by the river, it's beautiful. Awesome. And it's just so creative. It's just a wonderful opportunity for us to have here. It promotes health and wellness, and it benefits all of the residents in our community. And it was done partially the Agee family to honor Dr. Paul Agee, and it's just really a wonderful way to show that the fitness for people to have active, healthy lifestyles and also enjoy a shared outdoor space. And I stopped over there yesterday, and it's just fabulous. There's probably 8 to 10 fitness stations, and there's a little poster sign by each station to tell you exactly how to use that fitness station. Yeah. And you can do it at your own pace, at your own time. And again, people coming together to make this possible in our community.
It's a great idea, and another fantastic example of what you're talking about here, because that's something that wasn't there before, and who knows how many people that helps, mm-hmm. especially as the years go on here and everything. And it's a really nice honor to his legacy, too, I would imagine. So, there's so many wonderful things that combine with these and with something like that or with any of these what-if grants about it. So, thank you, Dawn, because there's a lot of information there I didn't know either, so I appreciate that. If I'm a person who has a thought or has an idea and I want to pursue one of these, how would I do that?
So you can find the application online at encouragecf.org, and it is a simplified application. It's only one and a half pages, and there is no deadlines for submission. You can submit at any time, and they would be reviewed then by residents in the community.
Great. Thank you. Thank you again very, very much. We're again joined by Corey and Dawn from Encourage. And ladies, again, thanks for joining us with all the great information and the fun topics that we've had to get into here. You had mentioned earlier, Corey, about the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. I thought if we could touch on the farmer market dollars.
Yeah. So this summer, Encourage was thinking about ways that we could take an approach and say, you know what, we want people to think about how do we grow our local wealth? And people are like, what does that mean, right? What does it mean to grow local wealth?
Yeah.
So an easy way to think about it is when I buy that salsa from someone who's made that salsa right here in our community, I give her my $5. What does she do with that $5? She uses it to pay a bill. And so then she's, you know, taking that $5 to a local utility company, and the local utility company probably pays a person who does local utility work, and then that utility worker probably goes back and maybe he buys a salsa. So it's just thinking about how, when we spend our money locally, how does that money circulate and actually really stay local versus, not that you can't always, you know, get everything you need right in your back door, but how do you think differently about shopping locally?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we did this summer to get people thinking about shopping local, and it was an easy way for us to support something that we love, which is the farmers market, thinking about making sure everyone has access in our community to healthy foods, to local food that's being produced by a local purveyor, so you know where your food is coming from. And so one way for us to do that is we created the farmers market dollar vouchers. So this summer we've been promoting these vouchers and giving away $5 for a resident to take that $5 over to the farmers market. They can use that $5 to purchase eggs. They can use it to purchase a green pepper. But they're buying it from a local vendor at that farmer's market. And again, it's that cycle of where does that $5 go then after it leaves our doors.
I like how you broke that down too, because that certainly is something that I think that we have an idea of, a ballpark idea in our heads about, but you really break it down well there, and it explains it a lot.
Yeah, and so it's just one small way that we can contribute to thinking differently about our spending habits. And so, you know, we are going to say, you know, shop local, buy local, eat local, play local, and you know what? Give local. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to support our community in multiple different ways. And sometimes it is by our shopping habits or our, you know, where we choose to spend our entertainment dollars or, you know, like going to local theater, for example. Mm-hmm. You were mentioning that as a passion of yours.
Nicely done.
Yeah. And so thinking about the ways that we can do that. And so sometimes it's thinking differently, too. So maybe, you know, you need a certain part, but the store that you normally go to in our community doesn't have it. Think about going in and talking to that business owner. Is this something you can get for me? Can you order this in even though it's not normally on your shelves? So even though it may cost, let's say, $2 more. But if you drive to Wausau to get it, it's going to cost you more than that $2 anyway.
Such a good point right there.
So it's just thinking about what are our spending habits and our playing habits and our giving habits? And how do we think about supporting our local community? Because it's really important as members here that we're supportive of one another. And this is one easy way that Encourage thought we could help start that conversation and really get people thinking about how do we do that.
It's a great point you make, a couple of great points you make right there. One of them about the driving, that adds up, and that $2 immediately, you know, pays for itself or whatever with not having to make the drive. I tell this to people all the time when they're buying stuff online they could buy in town. I'm saving a couple bucks here or there. Well, how about the shipping and handling? You know, and that shipping and handling charge is never cheap, or, you know, usually not a reasonable, at least, you know, $5-6 or whatever it can be sometimes. That's gas that you would be spending, or whatever. That, you know, so it's usually a little cheaper to buy, even if it seems like the product itself is not as cheap. It usually is cheaper to buy something local than it is to online or something like that. And another great thing that you guys do, and so many of the people that we have here on M&M do, is we talk about, okay, buy local, shop local, putting into our community, but giving people a reason to do that, and giving people incentive or want to do it, reminding people of it and why it's important. It's great to see places like Encourage and so many others that get that. Like, it's not enough to just say buy local, shop local, and everything. You gotta give people reasons to want to do that, and certainly we all would like to think, you know, for the most of us, well, we care about our community, we care about it, we get the idea of the cycle. You know, I spend $5 here, that goes here, 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 and all adds up to our community, and stays in our community, I should say. But understanding that process and then following it through are two different things, because, well, I can get this product cheaper here, you know, what have you. All of a sudden, you start giving people unique ideas like a salsa or something like that, or you start even being more in people's forefront of their mind and thinking, well, yeah, I could go online and look this up, but I already know that this business has it over here right in town and that kind of thing. So that is also important to it.
And you think about, like, the expertise that you get and the customer service you're going to get in a small business. When I shop local, I realize that the customer service I get, how can I put a dollar amount to that? Because there's so much knowledge when I go into a store that I get, you know, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that, or I didn't know that I could use this product interchangeably with this. And sometimes I'm mind blown, and sometimes I come out and go, I didn't need to buy something new because what I already have works. I just didn't know how to fix it, but the shop owner told me how.
It's really
and
good.
So you get great customer service. You're not only, you know, getting a better product in the end, because it's you know, sometimes made with love if it's something made locally, but it's also, you know, at the end of the day, when we think about, you know, who are these local shop owners, and who of our neighbors are business owners, and who of our neighbors are creative and innovative, and who makes something or provides a service in our community, and how do we put a face to that? Because once that face is there, I know I have a much easier time spending more money on a product, because I know what's behind it. It's someone's family, and I'm supporting the growth of our local economy, and that's so important.
Yes. Yeah, and all very well said, yes. Well, before we let you guys go here, I just realized the time. I get talking to you two, and I forget about the time. But is there anything just you wanted to touch on before we let you go today?
No, just, you know, check out our website. We keep everything that we can possibly on there. We're very transparent, so we have lots of good information on our website.